Good evening, friends. It's a privilege to be here tonight to speak in the name of the Lord. And as I've noticed, we're having a little trouble with the my second voice. This is a sermon. This thing is a perfect unit, unless something's behind to speak here. That's where a minister is a unit until the Holy Spirit speaks to him. And then it becomes a servant of Christ. Now, I think tomorrow morning is breakfast for the Christians. There is no designation of ministers and Jesus businessmen whenever I'm speaking, and that's their next dessert convention. And so I just nodded my head to Brother Vale, who's back there picking up the acoustics to see if it was right. Tomorrow night now is prayer for the sick. I'm going to try to let you out. I told Brother Vale a few minutes ago I'm going to cut my voice about half and two because we're just a little late. But tomorrow night is the night we pray for the sick. Now, get on the phone tomorrow and get the people out here that is sick. Now, the prayer cards will be given out tomorrow afternoon at the afternoon service at the church. And those who are out of town and come from out of town or work and send out, I have the boys here to have some prayer cards here at 6:30 tomorrow night for those who could not get in for the afternoon service. If all possible, get the afternoon service and get the prayer cards from the boys there at 6:30 tomorrow night from the auditorium here. Now, we want to get straight to the message right quick. Expecting to see many of you in the morning at the breakfast, I suppose it's been announced from here. And we'll be looking for you tomorrow. And then off here, where we continue on with the service at the International Convention of Christian Businessmen. Over in the book of Deuteronomy, the 32nd chapter and the 11th verse, I read a portion of God's Word. And as the eagle stirreth up her nest, floweth over her young, floweth abroad her wings, and taketh them beneath them on her wings. I said last night I would speak tonight, the Lord willing, on the eagle stirring her nest. I spoke on this before over in Virginia a few months ago. And I know it was quite lengthy, so I'll just try to speak on a few of the high spots. But there's something about nature that if you look at nature, you'll see God. And God dwells in His universe, in His people, in His Word, in His Son. He just dwells in His flowers. He dwells in everything. God is universal. On the present. And now in thinking of the eagle, I've often wondered why God likened this heritage to an eagle. And then it stirred my curiosity of being a rancher myself and watching the traits of the eagle, and how I've studied nature. Nature was my first Bible. I used to, before I knew one word in the Bible, when I was 21 years old, a man told me to look for James 5:13 in the Bible, and I was looking in Genesis to find it. 21 years old. And at 22 years old, I was ordained Baptist minister in Missionary Baptist Church. The Lord was good to me. But I studied God from the way of nature, where I found Him. Just like a flower. I noticed you women here with your flowers. How they fail to bloom up in the summertime, then death strikes them. They bow their little heads and give up the life that's in them. The petals drop off, a little black seed drops out. Then we have a funeral procession. Did you know that? God has a funeral procession for His flowers, sure. The fall rains come and cry, they will tear down and bury the little black seed. Then along comes the cold winter. Freezes up and the puffs down, bursts out of the seed and runs out. Bring it in here, there is no bug, no talk, no speech, no nothing that you can find. Yet, he knows God has preserved the light. Just as that eastern sun begins to shine and warm up the ground, there's no science to find that little flame of life, yet it's there and it lives with the men. And if God has made a way for a flower to live again, how much more has He made a way for a man to live again? Some time ago, I was having ice cream with an old Methodist preacher friend of mine. And he used to sing a little song that I was speaking to you about. Now, he was a real Methodist. He wasn't like, just like a lot of Methodists today, just go to church. He was a Methodist who had this experience. Now, like I've often said to the Pentecostal people, you Pentecostal people just got the same Holy Spirit we Baptists got. Now, we're not some kind of Baptists who stay home and join church. We get out the altar and keep one over the back so we come through. We have something when we got through. God knows we need to live in it just like that. The old Protestant type of Baptist. Not just the one that believes in grace and brings a lot of good grace to the gospel, but one who believes in the grace of God and lives without the Holy Spirit. And I was having ice cream with this old Methodist friend of mine, and the agriculture hour was on. And over in Louisville, Kentucky, they were broadcasting and set the little 4-inch cup of made-up machine that could produce a grain of corn just as perfect as one that was good in the field. That you could reach your hand in the sack, that was the machine produced, but the hand in the sack that was raised in the field, mixing together, there was no way of ever telling apart. Taken to the laboratory, put them open. They both have the same amount of calcium and moisture, and their hearts are in their brains just the same. Everything just, one of them is just as good a cornflakes as the other one, just as good a cook, harmony, anything as the other. And they said there's only one way you can really tell. That's burial. I said to this old Methodist, now if you don't want me to embarrass you, they'll hold my hand. You can act like a Christian. You might dress like a Christian. You might impersonate a Christian in every way, but unless that grain of life is in there, you'll never rise on the resurrection. That machine can put all the moisture and all the calcium in there, but it can't put life in there. That's God. Work alone. You might be a Christian and be just as loyal and perfect in your church as you can be, but except you're born again in the resurrection, you're laid up. All eternal life, God's life, will raise up from the dust of the earth. So in watching the eagles and the birds, lots of times of great joy has it been for me to watch them. And I begin to read what the eagles were, how many were there. And you'd be surprised to know that there's 40 different types of eagles. The word itself means a carrier or a feeder with the beak, with the mouth. And that's like, in the water, God likened his heritage to eagles, his prophets, because they feed the word with the mouth by preaching. That's the reason he likened them to eagles. Feeding the flock by the mouth. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing of the word. So that's why one reason he would liken them to eagles. And another reason he likened them to eagles, an eagle is a special bird. He can fly higher than any other bird that is. Oh, I know a lot of people here, you think it's a hawk. The hawk is no equal to him at all. Well, if the hawk would try to fly as high as an eagle, he would just disintegrate in the air. The eagle can lose the hawk anytime. He can go so high that a hawk couldn't even breathe. And then in order to get up there, that means that we'll have to be able to see far. Then another thing, you'll have to be a special made bird. If he wouldn't, his wing feathers are so tight you can't pull them out with a pair of pliers. He has to be to hold his big weight in that thin air. So when he gets up there, he has to be a special bird, a special built bird, or he will never get up there. And that's the way a Christian is. He's just not leaning over or something kind of a bird fixed over. He's born and made a Christian by birth. He's a special made bird. God designed him. So if you go above, way high, go above the things of the world, and watch things that coming in a distance. Now, it wouldn't do him to get up there unless he was able to stay there or to do some benefit while he was there. And that's the way the prophet is, the preacher, that can climb in the spirit far beyond anything. Very high in the height of inspiration. A real servant of God can climb so high till a normal mind can't even follow him. Because he's a special good person. Oh, how I'd love to think of that. I always like to be a little different anyhow from the things of that life, and I don't like the world or the things of the world, and I'm glad to know that we're both different. Just made different. Now you know the rain can run around on the ground and the buzzards can soar, but he can never follow an eagle. He's died. I'm just so glad that God got some people that can climb above the things of the world. Way up high. And he has to be a special bird to do that. Then I noticed again that he's the reason that he gets up there and is a special bird, not because that he desired to be a special bird, but because God made him a special bird. He is a special bird because he was born a special bird. That's the reason a lot of lukewarm church members can't follow a real Christian into spiritual things. He's never been born again. He hasn't been designed for that purpose. No wonder he can't understand it, but even see. And another thing about the eagle renews his youth. Renews his strength and his youth. That represents the church again. Because a man can be backslidden and away from God and put him in a good revival somewhere and he renews his covenant. He renews his youth. He comes back to God and he'll feel like he's all washed up and ready to go again. That's what evil does. He gets old and his habits and things begins to fail. He can't see good no more. Then all of a sudden something happens to him and he comes back like a young bird again. Well, I remember the first Pentecostal meeting I ever went to. It was at Mishawaka, Indiana. And they had about 500 preachers on the platform. And they said, we want every man up here just to stand up and say what church he belongs to, what his name is. And I just stood up and said, Evangelist William Lane, Baptist, sit down. All of them got through, and that day I didn't notice many of the young preachers preaching. And I listened to their message. I thought they were kind of noisy, but you know, if you're not a little noisy, it's the sound of your voice. If your religion hasn't got some emotion in it, I can prove to you anything without emotion is there. Right. When Aaron went into the Holy of Holies, they put a pomegranate and a bell. And when that's the only way they know he was still alive, because he made a noise in there. That's about the only way you can tell the church is alive, and you hear a good amen once in a while and something, that a witness that there's still life there somewhere. And I remember that night, they brought an old preacher out there. He was about 80 years old. He had a health into the platform. Just had a little rim of cotton around here, an old Negro preacher. And just a little rim of cotton around like this, a great big old, one of those old felt collar preachers, pigeon tail coats we used to call them, walked out there at the platform, so old, the old fellow couldn't hardly speak. And he said, children, he took his text from over in Job. Woe unto you when I laid the foundation of the world. Declare unto me where they're fastened. And the morning stars sang together, and the sons of God shouted for joy. Well, all the ministers that day have been talking about the life of the Lord Jesus on earth. But he picked him up about a million years before the world ever began, when the morning stars sang together, and the sons of God shouting for joy. Going down the horizontal rainbow in the second coming. He'd been on the platform about 5 minutes, and Jesse jumped in the air and put his heels there and said, glory! Said, you haven't got enough room up here for me to preach. He kept off there like a little kid. I was about 23 years old. I said, that's what I want. If you're not able to do that, what would you do? I want some of that. Oh, I'm so glad for all. And so the evil renews his youth. And they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up like eagles. They shall run like lightning. They shall walk in that faith. And oh, how the Lord does universal illustration. Now, and another thing the evil has, he is a bird that has ambition not to let his little ones be hurt. He builds his nest really high in the rock. And there he makes his nest for his young ones. How different it is with the other birds. How they build their nest down low. But the eagle goes high to build his nest. Some time ago, I was down to Cincinnati, Ohio, to the zoo. I've got two little girls, a little boy, and how I love little children. And every time when I'm gone from them, so I'm coming, get in the house, one wants to piggyback, and you know how it is. And I just love the little fellas. And I'm going to use them now for an expression. Some time ago, they sit up in the morning, never who gets up in the morning gets on my lap first. And Rebecca is a little older than Sarah. And so Rebecca got up first and she ran in and jumped across my leg. And her leg's long, hung down to the floor. And she put her arms around me and began to hug me. And just then the smaller girl came into the room. And she looked and Rebecca turned to Sarah and said, Sarah, I've got all of Daddy. There's none left for you. And the little fellow, the little girl, puckered up her little lips to cry, and I motioned to her and put my other leg out, and she come over and jumped on my knee, and I put my arms around her, and she turned those big brown eyes and looked over to Rebecca and said, Rebecca, you may have all of Daddy, but Daddy's got all of me. So that's the way it is, brother. You may have all of theology and all, but I want Christ to have all of you, everything that I am, every fiber and every bit, I want him to hold me. How that God and does his great marvelous work. One day I was up in Colorado, where I asked her a lot, and there was all the snow in the fall, and the snow hadn't come yet, and the elk herds were high. And the rancher, Mr. Jeffries, and I ranched together for years while we were hunting, and we knowed the land like you were just sitting here. And so we were about 2 days journey back at on Troublesome East Fork, the Troublesome River. And he separated that morning, and he said, Billy, I'm going over to look after some sheep. Wild sheep, mountain sheep. Said, I'll meet you down at the other lion camp, which is about 75 miles away. Said, I'll meet you down there about day after tomorrow because the elk is in this district. I said, okay, Jeff. So I went high from to the timber line. And I tied my horses down in the bottom and be back the day after or something to pick them up. And I was walking along, and that time of year, it'll rain. And then the sun will shine, then it'll snow, and the sun will shine, and it come up a storm. And I got behind a tree and stood like this until the storm was over. It was raining and blowing. And I stood there and was thinking about how good God is. And how I love to be alone with Him up there in the mountains. There was a blowdown near where I was, where the twisted bunches blow the trees down. And as the storm went away, I began to think on the scriptures and the great meetings. And then the sun was setting in the west, and the great eye looking across the valley, and where the evergreen had blown up there high from the storm, it formed a rainbow. And all David said, when the dew calls to the dew, if there's something in you that loves God, and you can see something that's doubting, there's just something that takes a hold of and grips you. And I remember, I said, there he is, Jehovah, his great eye looking. There's the rainbow. That's his covenant. And I said in the New Testament, I remember reading that he was to look upon as jasper and sardis stone, Benjamin and Reuben, the first and the last, and the covenant of the rainbow over his head. And just then, an old great war piled up on the mountain, and the mate anchored down in the bottom. My mama's a half Indian, and my conversion never took it out of me. Oh, something began to call the deep to the deep. The wild call. Then I heard the old bull, bugle. We got turned away from the herd. And then something within me began to call out, oh, God, you are present. Here you are in the wolf call. Here you are in the elk bugle. Here you are in the rainbow. There you are in the setting of the sun. Lord, you are everywhere. And then I was amazed that a little old pine squirrel jumped up, a little old fellow about so long, and he's just all like the Irishman's owl, all fussy and feathers. He just began to jump up and down and tear all night. He was going to tear me to pieces. Well, I said, little fella, what I've been doing, and I felt that real deep call, I set my gun down against the tree and went around and around and around the tree just as hard as I go to the top of the wall. Well, if there's been somebody that would just set a maniac out here. But I didn't say what they thought. I was worshiping God. That's all I cared. I know He was there. And a person just can shout and say, your shouts are no good. You must, everywhere you see God, express yourself to Him and love Him. And I thought, did I strike you, little fellow? And I happened to notice He wasn't paying much attention to me. But he cocked his little head and looked down. He's looking down in that blowdown. And the winds and the storm had forced a big eagle down. And we had a brown eagle in Colorado, which is a very big bird, and forced him in there. And that's what he was excited about. Well, I thought, well, why would you stop me from shouting for something like that? This big eagle jumped up on one of the limbs, great, big, gray-looking eyes, beautiful bird. And he looked there just as straight. And I said, now, what did you want me to see in that eagle? You mean I could see you in that eagle? Why did you interrupt me from worshiping the way I was, around and around this tree? Then I thought, well, there's one thing I can see in him. He's not afraid. And God's creatures are never afraid. You're not afraid of nothing. So then, I noticed again, I said to him, do you know I could keep you? It's talking to him. Nobody else ever talked to him. You see, now I'm the Lord. So I said, you know I could keep you? And I made out like a little reach from a gun. I see those big eyes look at me. And I noticed he began to feel those feathers. See if everything was in running on him. He knew that God gave him two wings, and you could trust those two wings. And he knew before I could get my gun to my shoulder, he'd be in the treetop, and I'd never seen him again. He knew what he was doing. Oh, I thought, how much more if God give an eagle two wings and he loved where he was standing with them, what ought a Christian to do with the baptism of the Holy Spirit? How do you ought to know where he's standing? Well, he's been there, I was in the wouldn't hurt him because I admire him. But he got tired listening to that little old pine fir. Better. And finally he just made a couple of big drops of jump, dropped his wings about twice and he was outside the timber, and then I seen what God would mean. He never flopped no more. He just knew how to set those big strong wings, and as the wings came up there that he just, rolled down the wings on. He never moved a feather. He just knew how to set his wings. And he went on beyond that little old pine twirl till it becomes just a little dot. I stood there and wept like a baby. I said, "That's it, God. It isn't join the Methodists and make up matter if you join the Baptists and throw us in the Pentecostals. That isn't it. It's just knowing how to set your wings in the power of His faith. And when the Holy Ghost comes in like a vessel, right away, go on, away from this satisfied here. All the things of America are satisfied. No such thing as divine union. No such thing as that with the Holy Ghost. Just set your faith in the power of His Spirit and ride away without joining Baptist, Methodist, or Pentecost, or any of them. Just ride away upon the power of the Holy Ghost. Just throw your faith out and say, God, you still live and reign, and you're the same Lord Jesus. Ride away on His blessings. Certainly He promises. One day, little Sarah and I was taking a walk through a zoo, and I seen the most saddest sight I believe I ever seen. It was an eagle in a cage. They hadn't had him there very long. That great, big fella didn't have any feathers over his head. All his wings just beat off on the side. And I watched him. He'd lay on the floor, take his hand. He'd get up. He'd look at those bars. He'd turn him off this way. He got a start. And he'd fly across the air, beat his head against those bars, flopping his wings, knock him back on the floor. He'd get up, look at the bars somewhere else, walk back, get a start, and here he comes. He'd bump his head till he'd beat his head till he'd had no feathers on his head or on his wings. And then the time knocked him out of the floor, and he laid there. And his weary eyes, as he looked towards the sky, that was it. He was a heavenly bird. He was born to soar in the sky. And there he was caged in, not a way to ever be free again. I thought that was the most satisfied. I'd give that man $100 knowing he paid for evil if he'd let me open that door to him out. All the faith that he was born to stay in those blue skies. But he looked up at him, but it couldn't do it. Somebody had put him in a cage. I thought that was a sad sight. But brother, when I see men and women who were born to be sons and daughters of God, placed in those cages of denomination and theology, that they said that they were the marriage of past one, and to keep me away from the real thing of God, walking around out here trying to satisfy that blessed hunger, that God put in you to thirst after Him, and satisfy the very thoughts and drinking and joining churches and all these things, and then that's the saddest sight I ever seen. You were born to be standing in the spot to start it. Run forward and start the unknown. God made you thus. Not to be faced in my denomination, don't believe in miracles. I don't care what your denomination does. Your Savior said so. That settles it. Don't let no man touch in the cage. You don't need any faith. You need to be free. The reason you look upward is because you're a violent people. The reason you love to do that is because God made you that. You think so quick cook and a chicken cook? You are made to be an evil of fire the sky. The heavens above is changed in your own through the power of the living God. You are made to be like other birds. That's what's the matter tonight. That's what your hearts are hungering for, is to get loose and get free because you're an eagle to begin with. An eagle is an eagle to start with. He is born an eagle. That's what makes him hunger and thirst for righteousness. But as long as you're standing in a cage, it says, the days of miracles is past.
Oh, they don't listen to those fanatics. There's no divine healing. There's no baptism of the Holy Ghost. There's nothing but about the Holy Ghost. Don't you believe that? Don't you believe that? There is a man who paid the price to open the door and he can be with you. And try hold on to his power and to his blessing. That man is Jesus Christ, who died to take you out of the devil's arms out and to make you free in Christ Jesus. So you can touch the heavens above. Was he raised? Yet an eagle. All he is, how much different he is from a chicken. But they're both birds. That is a chicken. A chicken is his denominational brother, isn't it? But he's a chicken. How much different it is with a chicken. The eagle goes just as high as he can and builds his nest in the cleft of the rock. And he gets up there so no predators can get to him. That's the way a real preacher builds his church. As the eagle of God, he builds it up on the word and the spirit of God so that the all those backwards and old scarlers and cigar smokers and two hall gamers can't touch it because he gets them eagles so high and born in the attention of God that all those savages of Elvis Presley are the doctrine that was the set they turn away from because they are eagles in the hour of God. I've got something that is at the spirit of the living God. The high ambition. Jesus said, we are a city that sits on a hill that gives life to everyone. And the real church of God is built with ambition that won't stop on these earthly organizations. It brings in the power and the resurrection of Christ. He stirs beyond these old chicken nests that we have around here. Right. No, he in the wilderness. Look how they take care of this sprinkler. Dehydrator, somebody that's putting all kinds of food powder, all kinds of stuff like that, indoctrinating. What are they? Nothing but a prey. A prey to the weasel. A prey to the wolf. A prey to the snake. Everything that comes along. Brother, a man that's born to the Spirit of God, they have to be all indoctrinated and join this social circle and that social circle. He's born by the Spirit of God, a free man that stands on it. And the king's on the living God to take care of him. His finest will not take place. Your eyes got an ambition to live for God. Those chickens will get out to the wilderness. They'll build their nest a great big coop and put a big bunch of wire over it and put down and everything like that. Just a domesticated bird, that's all there is to it. Once you get the little ones, they don't know nothing about the heavenly. But the eagle climbs up there and builds her nest. How many times have I watched them through my binoculars up in the top of the mountain? You ought to watch the eagle how she takes care of her nest. She'll go out and get great big sticks. You'll go right to a little state group like this just as high. There's not a circle, there's nothing can get to her. I'm so glad that the Church of the Living God built the same way. It's built above all the things of the world. It's so high above it, because we don't even look at it no more. If you love the world, the things of the world, the love of God not even in you. That's right. And then this old eagle will take these big sticks and how she'll put them into little crevices. And she'll bend them around with a car. Then she'll go to dry vines. And she'll wrap them around and tie that nest together just as tight so the wind can't blow it. All of God takes care of his own. And then she'll go out and she wants everything real closely for her babies that's coming on. So when she kills sheep or rabbits, she'll bring that stuff in. And she'll take a big beak and stuff them. Loose stickery places all full of rabbit skin, all full of sheep skin, and make it real soft and cozy. That's the way God does when he brings one of his children into his care. He always makes the nest cozy, all the sheep with everything. All the clothes is rolled away. You're just a piece when you're born again. God cares for you. Then how she takes care of those little fellows, lashes them, feeds them, takes care of them. She goes out and gets sheep. She goes and gets the beef. She watches her diet. And eagles eat off, spiritual eagles eat from the word of the living God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. Man shall not live by denomination. He shall not live by creeds or by prayers, he shall live by the word of God, that every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So, you don't know, the world no more can stand it. He's come out. He's not a buzzard. He's an eagle. Notice. Then, after a while, it comes to a place that these little eagles begin to cut more feathers. How delighted the mother is to see these feathers in the little eagle. After a while, they become pretty good-sized feathers. Now, remember, they've never been out of that nest. And that old mother eagle is determined that her kids will not be chickens. They won't have the habits of chickens. I'm so glad of that. If God's children, God's determined by the Holy Ghost that His spirit, your children, will not be scandal denominated so-called Christians. He's determined of that. And after they get the feathers out a little bit, then there comes a time what they call the stirring of the nest. I've watched it many times. That old mother eagle will come down one day, she'll look over these little fellows, and she'll say, all right, she'll get to stand up. She'll stand up on her nest. She'll take those great deep wings of hers, and she'll go to stand that nest just as hard as she can. Why? After a while, she's going to take those little needles and a solo flight. We're not going to be chickens earthbound. Days and miracles is past, and there's no such a thing as this and that. But she's going to give them a solo flight. And if those feathers are loose, they'll break the nest. So she has to fan all the loose feathers off of them with her own wings before she can take them on the solo flight. Brother, I'm telling you, if the Pentecostal church ever needs a wing thing, it's right now. Look at all the loose feathers off of it. That's right. She loose. Even doing the things in the world. All these churches are guilty of the same thing, from one to the other. And notice, she has to get those feathers out of them. If they don't, they'll break their neck. And there's too many loose feathers. And she's got the equipment to do it with. She's got two deep wings. And God's got the equipment to do it with. Both over the New Testament. Jesus Christ is king yesterday, today, and forever. Why do you think takes place when those little eagles have been born in that path in the rock, covered by their mother all the time, when the first time they feel a mighty rush of wind coming down? But somehow God has a way of stirring this by a mighty rushing wind. He went up the air of Pentecost and meeting another mighty rushing wind in the Holy Ghost to stand the new settings out of the Pentecostal church. You know what to bring. You should act as fresh as you and the rest of you. And you don't know these feathers stand down. You can stay up there, you're pressing that. And you're sticking, there's no need trying to think about it. No wonder you can't take it. Or you take an old human and throw it out up there, she disintegrates. That's why she can't stand it. She's got to be an eagle, or she can't stand it. You can't take it. And you've got to be born again before you can ever understand it through the supernatural. Right. So the old eagle stands there, and she fans the feathers all out of them. Oh, brother, what a time. Then the next thing she does, she sits in there and takes all of those little sheepskins and things that she stuffed out of that nest, takes the beak and throws them out on the hill. She's determined they're not going to be chickens. And she's going to make that nest so miserable for them that they have to get out. So then you have them standing on thorns. Every time you stay home, it's a thorn. Everywhere it's a thorn. Everywhere you stop, it's a thorn. God does that for a purpose. The old eagle wants to make them that way. And if you want from the mighty western wind hit you, and you need to be born by God, everyone you hit with a thorn, he tries to have your testimony and bring the world up. And he sees you told your best friend, he says, that's your whole world, haven't you? A thorn. Get ready! You're going to take a ride! That's what I can tell you. God's just making you ready. You know, listen to the pastor say, Pastor, last night I was praying, and all at once something happened to me. My life changed, and I feel different. I hear it. Don't you go stretching that around our church. Another song. He makes the nest so miserable until you have to get out. You just can't take it anymore. Because if you don't keep it, that shows you wasn't able to begin with. Then after a while, when you get to all, listen, all, you're satisfied, then the old mother evil comes up to the nest. And you know what really the little eagle has to see what size burden his mama is. So she gets on the nest, you ought to see it. It's a real drama. And she gets on the nest. And she goes to cooing to him. Cooing to him, the eagle's walk. Oh, that's sounds good. Then she stretches out her feet and knees. See how big I am? And then little fellows look up and say, oh, mama, what a great bird you are. Now, some of them, and even just flex 2 feet across the wingspread. They could pick up a calf and pack it away. And suddenly he never realized what a mother he had. And so he began to look up to her. And she began to show her power. Why do you people set your feet tonight? You Baptists and Methodists and Presbyterians, the doctors turn you down and you Pentecostals. It's because God found us. Show your feet tonight, brother. Thank God in power and says, look out for them. God's going to take you on a fight one of these days. And he wants to know how great thou art. Did you ever turn at night and look at the solar system? How that those little old stars and moons is nothing but insects, little grains of dust on his feathers. Sure, how great thou art, he said, saying he was a saint. What type of a pastor would that be? How great thou art! He wants you to look at him. Why? He wants to take you on a ride. He wants to give something good to you, because ain't you tired of being a chicken? You don't want to be a chicken, that's being evil. So then he set forth his great wings. He said, look how great I am. So I go, great big wings. You see how great I am? So feel that cool breeze coming in. That's where a man, when he gets down before God, and the Holy Spirit begins to move in on him. How great thou art. How great thou art. Trust me. Can you trust me? And the little supper wing says, Mama, I'm just like you are. I'm ready. She's hovering over her nest. She's fluttering over her young. And each one of those little eagles, she stole those big wings down. Each little eagle climbs up there and sets his little paws down with her great big strong wings. Takes his little beak, catches a hold of the feathers. You couldn't pull it out with a pair of pliers. So now, it has to be the hold of that little one. Oh, blessed be the Lord. Oh, keep God's very changing hands. Nothing in my eyes, God's very simply true to our cross, our claim. Let the world say, Holy Lord, the United Divine Healer, whatever they wish you, let me hold to God's unchanging hand. Let my hopes and power be. Not in your merits of any church or any priest or any preacher, but set my faith in the merits of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who set me free from the law of sin and death. Heaven, let me hold in his unchanging hand. When I take the flight, as for why all the little eaglets are gathered on the wings. I like to think of that. I was standing in Gary, Indiana some time ago, where Brother Gold here from. And they took me up to show me the mill, the steel mill. I thought, oh, this is wonderful. I've always wondered how this would be. And each man of these beasts was working these lathes, you know, and shavings on the floor, and a little whistle blows. Every man swept the shavings right out in the middle of the floor from the steel work. Now, I said, what are you going to do, sir? I said, stand here, Mr. Branham, and you'll see something. I said, all right. I stood there. After the other whistle blew, all the men went out. And then after all of them went out, he pressed a little button. And I heard something coming in the distance. Roar, roar, roar. I thought, what's that? And down through the tunnel, it was a great, big magnet. And as it crossed over that floor, right down that aisle, all those sailors picked right up on it and went out to the people over, they demagnetized it, and it dropped them to be molded over again. I said, hallelujah! He said, sir? I said, hallelujah, and he praised our God. He said, I didn't know it. I said, where did that stuff go? He said, it's to be molded and made over. I said, I'm thinking of another great magnet. That's coming someday. And so take this old corruptible body of mine. It's going to mold it over again. I said, I want to ask you something. Why didn't all those children go? He said, sir, some of them are aluminum. It was not magnetized. I said, glory to the Lord. I said, what's the matter with that piece of iron there didn't go? He said, it's bolted down. I said, that's it. That's it. Oh, don't be demagnetized or be bolted down to some creed, but be free in Christ when he comes. And the Spirit goes to pick you up and make you a new creature and mold you into his own fashion. And I noticed this old eagle as they go with her again. She squealed 3 or 4 times, real squeaky, And she set her big wings out, and she picked those little birds up, and she went up, 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 up. The air got thinner. They're a parachute, there was an eagle. But she knows what there was. They were her own breed. God never makes you a promise in here to step out on. He'll give you breath, breath to breathe. He'll give you work to stand. He'll give you grace. Yes. Step out on these ones of promise. See if he won't do it. And so it's so high, way in the air. Now here's the funny part about it. When she got up there, you know what she done? She struck them every one off. Off of the wings. They weren't going to be chickens. They had to fly. But those were no eagles. They were turned up side down, flip flop. Wasn't matter. They were topsy turvy and everything else. They didn't care. They were flying. You say, did she go away from them? No, sir. She just throw it out to one side and begin to watch them. Oh, my. If one of them got out of paper, she'd pick him up. Amazing grace, she'd pick him up and lift him right back up to the end of the room. Oh, he's real. His eye is on his arrow. And I know he watches me. I may not be formidable. I may be all out of favor. But I'm trying to fly any high heaven. Throw up Pentecostal Jubilee. Dropping my Pentecostal wings. Dropping in the air as hard as I can. And screaming the grace of God. Just as loud as I know how to do. And he's just coming with me. Why? He's not scared. The nature's in man. He's an evil to begin with. He's not afraid. And then he turns over and upside down if he gets too far out of favor. He reaches right down, picks him up, bears him right back up in the grave with him. That's what he does. So he learns how to fly. Oh, how much different is with a chicken. Her food. She just walks around the barnyard with him, earthbound, that's all she knows. One day a guy was going to set a hen. And he only had 14 eggs. How many is a set? 15, isn't it? And he couldn't find that other egg, so they say he found an eagle's egg. And he took that eagle's egg and put it on the old hen. And when all of us hatched out, that was the funniest looking little creature that had chickens that they ever saw. Just about, that's about the way you get them in a church, about one out of a set. That's right. And they were all looking over them. So he's an eagle. I was going down to the Ladies' Aid Society. Thank you, I don't really want to go. They sort of play pool tonight? Don't think so. They're about one of a set, and that's about the way they run. So it was a strange thing to watch this little eagle. How he'd look around, he couldn't learn the habits of those chickens. They were scratching manure pile. He didn't know anything about that. These people down here drinking little sociable drinks and going to horse races and watching the horses ride through Elvis Presley and he loves sushi and don't go to prayer meetings. Are you a Christian thing there, Samuel Sonny? Just what is his nature, you see. He's evil to start with. You know what happened? He turned his little head for them to look after him. Look around and said, sure, that's where I ought to be. But the rest of them not going up there. He said to the other man in him, can anyone get up there? Nah, don't you start that fanaticism among my chickens. Don't you start pushing on things around here. You excommunicate me right away. And the first thing you know, whenever your Bible comes to you, you're evil through the ocean, says, you mercy! You're not a chicken, you're mine! Then he just never know me, how did I get there? They told me I have to stay here. So just get and stop you and come out with this. So when Jesus made a jump and dropped his wings and hit on the barnyard post, right in the middle of a Pentecostal organization. Now I look at this church into a Pentecostal organization. And everybody passed by you and said, Junior, if you can't jump higher now, I can't get this. You've got to come higher than your organization. Get out of your supernatural. Stop Holy Spirit with your evil. Stop touching your high spirit. Can you say anything you've got? You've got to find out if you listen to him. Evil. Evil spirit. Hallelujah. You can't be a chicken. A chicken can't be an eagle. You're predestinated by God to be eagles. You were born to be eagles. You come out of an eagle family. Your spirit comes from God who created the heavens and earth, who created all things and made the world out of things that wasn't. If you're in style, you say amen to everything he says that's the truth. And you stand on his word. If the Holy Spirit is in you, it witnesses back to God that you're his child. And no bunch of creeds or denominations hold you away from God. You'll go because you're God. Oh, the Holy Spirit of God streams over the building, streams over the people, works among them. Generally not when you're speaking, calling, showing the people that he was just the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's here tonight the same way. Let's bow our heads just a minute. I want to ask you something. If you're not an eagle, would you like to be an eagle? Raise your hand and say, God, set my hand as I raise it up. God bless it. That's good. That's right. Let me be the Lord. I haven't been, but I want to be. I want to get into the sphere where denominations won't hold me. I don't say get away from the denomination. I use Baptist, Methodist, Pentecostal. I don't say that. But we have eagle in it. There's other eagles in there. Raise your hand and say, God, take my hand, catch me around everyone, and bring me up into the heavens. Sure, you God. You like simple smooth up things, you like divine healing. Because you were born to believe it. There's something in you that says it's real. Lord God, take these hands and send your aid. Bring them out of the old nest and let them know that the Spirit of God that's here now is calling them to a deeper walk, to a greater experience. Not just an experience of putting your name on a book, walking out. Putting your name on a Pentecostal book or any kind of a book and walking out. But it means being born again by the Holy Spirit. God, let the scream of the Holy Spirit echo in your heart deep tonight. Let it rise and be filled with the Spirit. And someday when you come, you'll fly away into the heavens by your Spirit and by your grace. Grant it in Jesus' name. Amen. You love him? Without the music, he'll give us the chorus. I love him. How many knows it? Let's sing it now. All right. I love him. Everybody knows. I love you.
come up. We're in order. It was for you. The great Holy Spirit, the pillar of fire, comes over this building like perfume. Mine to you, my friend. You are born of my spirit. The Lord Jesus is here. How many sick people did you raise in here? We can raise in Vietnam. God bless you. We don't need prayer, God. I believe the Holy Spirit tells me right now He wants to praise you, He's God, and He's the only one who can give us praise. We don't have no prayer, God. We ain't got any more money, we don't need them. I believe that God right now can see the new country. Amen. You just got on your heart. How many was in the meeting of the night here to explain how Jesus was yesterday, how the woman touched His garment, He turned and told her, raise your hands to me. Now have faith and believe. Oh, I just, in my, I can tell you, it's a sight. Not a sight. There's five senses controlled about it. See, don't see a fellow here. But the sixth sense is faith. You don't see it patiently? Smell it here. But it's there. Just like this microphone here before me, because it's clear. If there was a man standing here, I could see it. But only way I could tell the man moves was to watch him. But in looking around in this now, I know he's here anyhow. When he moves, I can tell it. You pray if you need. If God right here now rolled and sent me, and every one of you know what I was saying to you. If God will send something for you here, I can get any son who has promised you this, how many of you will love him and know that he's the evil that our hearts are hold and defined. God, you see your hand. I'm your servant, they are too. Let it be done, Lord, that they might know that you're God, and I'm telling you the truth. I might not be able to polish up a sermon like a minister ought to, but Lord, I do know you, and I know the truth, and you help, Lord. Now you speak the words of my sermon wasn't sufficient. You speak the words in your own way. In Jesus' name, we commit ourselves to you. Amen. Just at point three. I was a woman touched his garment. She went out in the audience, and Jesus turned to who touched me. This Holy Spirit that I speak of is the same today with the Holy Spirit, then you have to act the same. He's the Holy Spirit. You are sick now, pray. Tomorrow night will be the regular healing night. Tonight is too. Yes, sir. Stand there just a minute. Yes, stand there. I don't know you. Of course you haven't got a prayer card. Now you know what one is. You bring me to be your servant. If Christ will reveal to me what your trouble is, you accept it. Believe you'll be healed and whatever it's your need. And you know, something right there, look at me. Something's going on right now. If that's right, raise up your hand. I've never seen in my life. This is probably our first time ever meeting. But if you believe with all your heart, the heart trouble affects you. You have heart trouble, didn't you? That's why I raise your hand right here. Go back and say that. By the way, that man standing next to you there have heart trouble too. Right next to you. That's right. You could hide your life soon if you had to. But when I say that man, it makes you alarmed, and you believe. That's right. Now you're going to be healed. Jesus Christ makes you well. If that's right, stand upon the feet of Jesus. Today. They close to one thing or another, but it's heart trouble, sir. Weak is nervous condition. Forget it. Go home and be well. You come a long way from being disappointed in your way of coming here. Something blew up. It'll be all right. Don't worry. Years of your life. I don't know you. God bless. What about this young lady sitting here looking at me so sincerely? You believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Do you believe I'm your servant? Do you believe the Spirit working through me? You're needing prayer, aren't you? If I tell you by God's Spirit, just like the woman touched his garment, you touched him too. I've never seen him alive, did I? Don't know nothing about you, but you got spinal trouble. That's right. You did have, you don't have now. Go home and be well. What about somebody over this way? Somebody over there with a dream. You think with all your heart? What about you, lady, sitting there? You put up your hand in any healing? You sitting around here? I don't know. You've never seen me in my life, as far as I know. You might have seen me, but I don't know you. If God will explain to me and let me know that if you touch his daughter, something happens, I won't speak to you unless that angel standing right there over you. That light, did you ever see the picture of it? Well, that's exactly what's making you feel the way you are. He's right over you. I've never seen you in my life. That's right. If it is, raise up your hand, I'm a stranger to you. You've got a strangling spirit, which is a garter inside your neck. You're not from this country. You come from a place that's below here. You come from Orlando, Florida. That's exactly right. Thus saith the Lord. You believe it.